You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters, issue 89 of Geek Watch 1. But today's a little special.
See, man, you went...
What?
Changed the whole thing.
Never mind.
Geeksters, you didn't hear, we had actually a take one that didn't work. But this is the 2-year anniversary of...
2 years!
...of Geek Watch 1.
Geek Watch 1!
That's right.
Are we approaching
I think we've worked through all the bits we lost in the first
round.
Geek Watch 1!
In volume and episode number.
You already did.
This is issue... this is issue 1 of volume 3, technically.
We the best podcast!
We the best!
And apparently we don't have proper grammar.
No, that's like DJ Khaled.
It's DJ Khaled's music.
He does it all. It's street, it's hip, and like all the kids are doing
it's grammatically incorrect. Now stop it.
No, it's a reference.
It's a reference.
Well, like I said, this
word.
Is our second anniversary show. We are live at the. We are recording this live at the Meeple, just like we always do with a room full of
but
friends.
But we record all of them live, man. It's like if we record it.
Wow, you're giving away the secret.
But this is live in front of an audience.
That's right.
Did you not forget the episode where you phoned it in, literally?
We've done that a couple times.
That's true. We have. You're right.
So we got some new friends sitting here with us that are joining us. We have Adam Campbell from Dice Squad.
Hey, guys!
We got Sean, a friend of ours. I don't know your last name, Sean.
Sorry about that. I'm Sean Riediger. I'm a game designer and a writer.
Awesome. And we got Mr. Andy Hopp in the house.
Second class.
Yes.
Got promoted at
Count on the Cab!
Yeah, that's Marshall Dice, right? General Dice.
Marshall.
You're Marshall.
I messed it up earlier last weekend also.
You mean 2 days ago.
We have Mr. Drew Burkett himself. Leader and grand poobah of the Groundhog Day Gaming Retreat. Soon to be the Groundhog Day Gaming Con.
GHD
Gaming Con.
Also known as Dicezilla.
Well, both of us were messing it up all weekend.
You got a year and a half to figure it out.
That's right. So we'll get more about Groundhog Day here in a little bit, because Vicky and I actually went up there and hung out all weekend. It was a great time. But Kylan, being our second anniversary, what's some of the stuff you, the really cool stuff you remember from the time we've had here at Geek Watch 1? Because dude, 2 years, that's a long time to be together doing stuff.
Let me see, I remember a time that we got that, somebody gave us a little picture of a Supergirl. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Dude, the fan art in general. We've gotten some fan art, and that's great.
We did. We got fan art.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at the time we got business cards. That was pretty cool.
That was dope. T-shirt.
We got t-shirts.
The first time we got business cards, it was like, dude, we're like official and stuff.
I thought, man, we're a thing.
And this is awesome.
I remember when I got my first press pass. I'm like, oh my god, they just hand these things out like chiclets.
Yeah, that's when you realize it's not that difficult to get them.
But still, that means we're official members of the media.
I'm somebody that a rapper can hate. That made me feel important.
I remember, I thought when you first said that, I thought, dude, that's kind of cool, but he's a lot more cool and being a lot more excited about this. Then we got ours for the con, and like, yeah, okay, I know why you're all excited about this.
I mean, because you end up getting access. It changed the way that I attended conventions, and that's true. But at the same time, I started looking at conventions in a different light. And so, like, I'll say that, like, this pretty much changed my life. Like, in ways I never expected.
If nothing else, it started to dominate our life a little bit, too.
Oh,
because you got to think, how much of you had to worry about scheduling because you know we're doing this every week?
All
you
time.
End up scheduling your whole life around.
I can't do that around this now. Yeah. You know, and it's fine.
Well, we schedule our lives around podcasts in general now.
We do. Yeah, when we started this, all of us had the only thing we were doing.
Yeah.
And now between us, we got Vicky's got one on her own. I've got two other than this. You've got one other this, and you got a couple
got two, don't you?
Yeah, Dawn's got two.
What? I didn't
so
know that.
We got all kinds of podcasts running around in here.
What else is Dawn doing?
You gotta talk to her about that.
She don't really talk about it.
Yeah, she'll talk to you about that later.
All right.
Thankfully, the only other thing I'm doing is a radio show, which is currently on hiatus.
See?
So. See, that's cool. But
between all those, plus, then we got all the podcasting friends we've met, like the Dice Squad,
right.
Tangent Bound, like the everybody over on the Weeby Geeks Network. Give a shout out to Mike and Eric and Derek and everybody over there that we're actually podcasting with.
Jules. And then we got the website, and we got blogs, and...
This has exploded.
It has.
I told you guys.
Empire.
Exactly. Well, I said when we started this that I'd heard from listening to other podcasts that it's kind of an addiction thing once you get started.
Yeah.
You can't just have one.
No.
It's like Lay's potato chips.
Harry White and J. Jonah Jameson.
Okay.
Except audio.
No. That would be Dawn. She's the editor on most of the
okay. Dawn, you're the stuff.
I control it all.
Yeah.
But no, this has been a great trip. I want to thank Vicky and Dawn and Kylan for all the stuff we've done and working with us this whole time. But let's get into
bloggers.
The show a little bit, huh?
You can't forget our bloggers
and the bloggers. Yes.
Yeah. What about them?
Our absent Cam.
Yes, Cameron, actually, he said he's leaving now.
I think I just saw
him. He's leaving now?
Matt sent me a blog in a couple months. And Vern, who doesn't get counted as a blogger anymore.
I didn't know. That's gone.
But that's okay, because Bart makes up
Bart,
for it.
Bart, who is super blogger and has given me postings through March at this point.
Hey, let's pour one out for Bart, by the way.
Bart would be here, but he's not feeling well.
For Bart.
Yeah, Bart's not feeling well. He's got something going on with his leg.
It hasn't been amputated yet. We're good.
No,
not quite.
He got an X-ray today.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So you know
he's trying to get a bionic leg. You know he is.
Which would be really dope.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology.
That's right. Just call, what was his name?
$6 Million Man.
No, not $6 Million. But
Rudy.
The guy, Rudy.
Rudy.
Just call Rudy, and he'll actually put them all together for you.
Yeah,
Dr. Rudy.
Yeah. But see, that. Although technically, see, $6 million isn't gonna get you a lot.
I was
seeing
Bart like the $4 man. I don't mean that. That's
you mean
worked.
Short?
Are you talking about?
No,
me?
I mean you replace the legs with popsicle sticks.
I just mean like
some glue, maybe.
Where's Bart gonna get $6 million? Is my question.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Hey, Steve Austin didn't have $6 million. They paid to do it to him.
They did to him. You know,
not donating Bart to the Men in Black. Sorry.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. And then all you need is like. No, alien
Bart
tech.
Bart
did
need a bionic leg. I'd start like a GoFundMe or something.
That's right.
The funny thing is, that's the type of thing that GoFundMe would give him a lot of money.
Yeah.
If you actually had a plan on how this would work,
$6 million.
People would give him money to do this.
Well, maybe he should get his leg amputated.
That's the sure.
If you're listening to this right now, Bart.
Oh, you know, Bart listens to all of our shows. That's awesome.
Bart has to be in a tragic accident. We're going to have to talk him into being a test pilot. And then the plane's going to have to go down, boom, explode.
All right.
And then, you know.
No, I'm sorry.
You know the rest.
You know he has asthma, right? He'll never become a pilot.
Well, the funny thing is,
C-Bart,
I'm talking to you. I know you're listening to this. See what happens when you don't show up?
That's right.
We talk about you.
Also,
we love
they
Bart.
May have mispronounced it when they said tragic accident.
Right. If you're planning for it, it's not really an accident.
What? Well, not planning. I'm
no,
saying.
He doesn't know what's going to happen.
Also,
so tragic bionic.
Also, if he gets the bionic limb afterwards, is it still tragic?
Well, it's partially tragic. Then it becomes, you know, less
hero
tragic.
Story.
Right.
What's the awesome equivalent of tragic comic? Is it Tregawesome?
Yes.
Tregawesome.
That sounds good to me.
But see, I think he needs two legs because one leg is going to throw him off. I'm just saying.
That's what I always wondered. Is like you watch the $6 Million Man. Didn't he only get one leg or something?
No,
he got
legs.
Both.
He both legs, both arms, and
one eye.
One eye,
yeah,
by his bionic eye.
Yeah,
he always
no, no. To actually in the comic, no, in the movie, In the book, it was one arm, both legs. But in the comic, they decided that the human body needed to have balance to be able to.
Yeah.
So they end up amputating the other arm. So he has both arms, both legs.
Is that the new comic?
Wait,
those
are
the new comic?
Should we cut off?
Yeah,
Kevin Smith wrote those.
Oh, and he was 14 kinds of pissed. And honestly, he was like, he spent like 6 issues pissed. And I'm like, dude, you got bionics. And he's too bad.
Well, if I remember right, the cool thing about that show was they actually took into account that he only had one bionic arm, because a lot of times they were doing stuff where he had one arm he was doing things with because the other one wouldn't have helped anyway.
Right, yeah. And I was like,
that's one I need to go back and watch somewhere, but it's not streaming anywhere.
No, it's not. Yeah, but you know what? The library has all of them on DVD.
Do you think they had a bidet?
Huh?
A
bidet?
Andy questions.
Wait, do you mean built-in?
Or
I mean, at home, like,
is
his wiping hand his bionic one?
No, but see,
he doesn't have any trouble with that. I don't think he had a filtration system.
Those from the hips down. I think he had a filtration system.
So you know, the bionic.
I think he still had the bionic. You know, but no bionic.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
Can we move on, please?
Yeah. I wasn't planning on going that far.
Andy did that.
Yeah, sure.
Well, just a real quick, real quick, remember, next weekend, February 4th, you guys will be at the library in downtown Akron for the Family Reading Fest.
Yeah,
anybody wants to come
and
see? Go see Dawn and Kylan. They'll be there with the Rubber City Book Posse.
That's right.
Hanging out. Check out some books.
From 10 to 3, it's completely free, all family-oriented craftiness and performances by, like, kids performers and stuff, and we're giving away thousands of books,
please come and take them. The book pimps are in the hizzy. Yeah, we got all kinds of books. We got books with words. Okay. We got books with pictures.
And
all these
books are free. Come through the table. If you see something you like, take it home.
Do you have books with pictures and words?
Yes. We have books with pictures and words. Words and pictures.
Whoa.
Right. There is one requirement, though. There's one requirement. If you take a book, don't bring it back.
You know, we've had people hold on to the book for a year.
Actually, yeah, they bring it back the following
year.
And then they take another book. It's like,
they're like,
well,
I didn't know what I was supposed to do.
It's like we're a long-term library.
Yeah.
Like, a whole year and then bring it back.
Well, I know Akron has a couple of those, like, book deposit things. It's like one of those where you go, oh, I like this book, I'm going to take it, and I'll leave one here, and then I'll leave it the next place. It's kind of weird.
We have people like, I looked for you everywhere, and I didn't know what to do. Here's a book, like, we're sitting there waiting.
Just
like,
give it to someone else.
I can't believe that person.
You guys are just like, we don't want to carry.
Here, take more.
Well, the next one up is that same day. Vicky and I will be out in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, at the Anime Mini Winter 2017. So, if anybody happens to be out that direction, say hi. All right. This looks like it's a small size. Like you guys had ZipCon this weekend, Andy.
ZipCon
it sounds like it's about
size
that size. Yeah, but it's a 1 day thing from like 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. or 9 a.m. till 8 p.m. Have fun, good time, watch some anime, see some cosplay, play some video games.
Yeah.
Kylan's over here sign languaging again.
Kylan just told me to steal second.
And then, the only other thing we have on the schedule definite right now is Oddmall the week after that. And then we're finally done for like a month or two. So, I don't know.
Oddmall.
We have, well, it's Oddmall Expedition Elsewhere,
Dream World's Con.
That's right. Technically, it's the Canton Museum of Art in association with Oddmall Expedition Elsewhere proudly presents Dreamworld. I gotta talk loud.
I'm sorry, can you please give that an acronym?
Just call it DreamWorldsCon.
That's right.
Okay.
So we've been telling you guys all about this. We're gonna have all the stuff Oddmall normally has. We have your entertainment.
Yeah.
We have all the vendors.
Right.
We have the food.
Uh-huh.
All of that. But we're adding to it and that. We're adding gaming.
Wow.
Kylan has
sign language to Latin.
Move closer to the microphone.
Yes. Well, we have gaming being added to it. Kylan has a full range of panels going for both days.
Even more full range.
We got the Art Museum has a fantastic fantasy art exhibit going on, which I believe there's at least one piece from our own Andy Hop in the exhibit, isn't there?
What?
Didn't you have one in there?
No.
Oh.
I thought you did.
Nah.
Well, there will be.
Andy has the entirety of Oddmall.
Exactly. All of the Oddmall art is Andy's. Vicky will have her table there, and she has some fantastic new hats and things. It's going to be great stuff. Oh, yeah, you did have stuff in the gallery
there's some,
there. Yeah.
There's some vendors who've been there before. There's some new vendors. And
yes.
It'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm. You do have, how many, what range of new vendors do we have this time? Because
yeah,
I know.
Every time we do an On Mall show, it's probably 60 or 70% people that have been there before. And then, you know, 30 or 40% new vendors. And, I don't know, a lot of new people this time and a lot of returning people this time.
Wow,
I was looking on the...
Yeah. Checks out.
I know.
I looked on the vendor list on the site the other day, and I was just clicking all the links just to look at everybody.
There's
some fantastic stuff. There was a lot that I didn't recognize.
A lot of really new stuff I'm excited to see in person. We have about 140 vendors at this show, which makes it, you know, one of our mid-range shows.
Okay.
The Akron show has about 240. And the show that we haven't even talked about yet.
Well, we talked about it on here.
I did
a little bit. You have not been here to talk about it. We will get to that here in just a minute.
No, Slate was trying to last time.
Yeah, Slate was trying to help us with it last show when we did. That's when she was walking across the computer.
That's what Slate does.
Is Slate the one that's over HR? Is that Slate or
Slate runs HR?
Okay, I just want.
Yeah. And Slate vets the people by.
She almost fired Greg last week, but I gave him a raise instead.
Slate was talking about firing you. When was she?
Yeah, Slate's kind of a jerk sometimes.
I just think Greg's got to stop grabbing.
Well, because
Slate,
the resources are
no problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know about Slate. I think Slate was trying to fire me at one point. I'm like,
it's possible you haven't even been hired yet.
my first time hanging out at Andy's house is just the two of us in the evening and stuff.
Oh,
Slate tried
to
give me a heart attack.
See, because that's Slate.
Yeah.
Have you seen how Slate wants to come in the house?
No, she chewed through some electrical wires and put them in
the bathroom. No. I'm sitting at Andy's.
The
lights are out. We're just mostly out, and the windows are open.
It was so romantic.
So you can see the you can see the lights from the school across the street.
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking to Andy. I look over. There's a shadow in the window.
Yeah.
Slate was hanging onto the screen.
Yeah.
One of those stupid Garfield things on the window.
Yes!
No, she does that every night. She's outside. She jumps onto the screen, and you hear it, like, smacking into the screen. And, you know, we know what it is by now.
I didn't hear it. It was just a random thing. I turned around and looked, and there's a shadow in the window.
Yeah.
You had to think about that. You're sitting there, it's all nice and chill, and then there's a shadow looking at you through the window.
And it distracts you from the shadow of Stabby Mike in the other room.
I've met Stabby Mike.
So,
he's kind of nice. He's a friend of mine now.
He's got a little stabby.
But that's DreamWorlds Con. Andy, you do have a new convention, or not convention, but a new Odd Mall coming in May. We have a second May Odd Mall.
Rock.
Okay.
Literally. This one is called Riverside Ramble. Odd Mall Riverside Ramble, May 20th. It's a one-day show.
Okay.
This is outside at Kenton's lovely Stadium Park. And it's going to meander, that's a good word, along the river, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have rows of vendors. We got four villages of vendors set up in various parts of the park.
So we'll be the village people.
Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be really sweet. We have some great partners. I just talked to the radio station 94.1, Mix 94.1.
Oh, cool.
On your FM dial. They're going to be participating with us.
Oh, they are?
Oh, sweet.
Like they got some good music.
Hey, maybe we can get on the radio.
Yeah, I'm going to be on next Wednesday, actually, with them.
Oh,
I'll drop a word about GeekWatch
cool.
1.
Cool.
Then we end up with the morning show.
Yeah.
Kyle and Ken in the morning.
See, top billing. He's like, it's not Ken and Kyle.
We did that a long time ago.
But see, Ken and Kyle just don't sound right.
No.
Like guys like Keenan and Kel.
Exactly.
Yeah, you gotta do the two syllable name before the one syllable name.
See?
Why do you
unless there's alliteration.
The white man down.
Yes.
Well, we have room for over 300 vendors at this show.
Okay.
There's going to be food trucks and all kinds of goodies like that.
Oh, man, there's so much space for food trucks.
I've seen the map. I've not seen the actual...
We're going to have an entire building, the Garden Center building, is going to be used for gaming.
Yeah, that's why
not. Oh,
nice. Cynthia Tuck is going to run the gaming.
Okay.
With friends from various groups she's involved in.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to have croquet and badminton and goodmitten and middle mitten.
As your sampler, food is good.
Absolutely.
So,
also, the Cube. You guys know about Cube.
Oh, yeah, we played last year. We were on your team.
They're going to be there. They're Cube Club. Country Cube Club.
Something like that, yeah. We talked about it last year on here when we did the tournament because we were telling you about it's a Viking game.
Right. You throw wooden sticks at other wooden sticks.
Pretty much.
It's cool, though. It's like a cross between lawn bowling and javelin throwing. and ninjalistics.
See, I'm all for ninjalistics.
I know you are.
Especially when it comes to throwing sticks.
That's what I'm saying.
Word.
But no, Coup Club is going to be there doing their annual tournaments open to everybody. Even if you've never played Coup before. We didn't play last year, but we learned how, and it was super fun.
Yeah. What's cool is this is actually a Coup tournament, but you don't have to know how to play the game to get in the tournament and play.
Right, they'll teach you. And it's cool, it's fun, much fun will be had by all.
Yes.
So what can
we will have a full entertainment schedule.
And this is co-sponsored by the city of Canton.
Yes. So that's what we got going up on Oddmall.
Yeah.
That's actually where we're going to be.
Right.
So the other thing I wanted to touch on real quick was Vicky and I had a really good time last weekend. We told you guys about the GHD, the Groundhog Day Gaming Retreat we did with Andrew and with Marshall Dice over here. Check out
and Sin and everybody else.
Yeah, and Cynthia was there. Yeah. Check out. We're gonna Miss Dawn's gonna have links on the page for Dice Squad
to teach us how to play games.
Yes. Which game? Oh yeah, Mike, your buddy Mike Chundy actually helped us figure out a couple of games. We played. Have you guys ever played Imhotep?
No.
This is ancient Egyptian type board game. So you're actually moving stone cubes around and building obelisks and pyramids and things. It's fun. We did
In the Name of Odin.
Sushi Dice.
So there's plenty of fun games that was there. It was a great time. Aunt Drew, thanks for having it. But you had some news, huh?
Thanks for coming.
Well, you had some news for next year real quick.
I do. This was the last year for the Groundhog Day Gaming Retreat.
Okay.
What?
We're moving it to May so we can bring in some more people, bring in some vendors and whatnot, try to get it up to around 500 people. So it's May 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2018. GHD Gaming Con.
Yes. We got a year to figure out how to just say that instead of the Gaming Retreat. I've been saying the Gaming Retreat for like 3 years, so.
We'll do some more cross-promotions.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I hope so.
I have a picture I drew of a Groundhog that I'll let you use if you want.
Only if I can come and be a vendor at an Oddmall.
Of course.
And that's the art of the deal.
It's called Network.
I'll give you free art if you
if you pay for a vendor booth.
Okay. Awesome. Sounds
done deal. So that's what Vicky and I did this past weekend. What did you guys do anything cool this week?
No.
Kylan said he actually had an interesting weekend.
I actually had a weekend of nothing.
What about Sunshine?
Well, it's magical.
We had our reading group Saturday, and then which involved preparations for the reading festival,
right?
In part, and then
you ate lunch at Skyline.
You ate lunch at Skyline,
and then ate lunch at Skyline.
We're having lunch at Skyline. He's like, I gotta tell Andy we're at Skyline.
Right?
What, really?
And then I was inspired to go there myself.
How many Skyliners did you eat?
I had the burrito or the Cholito, and I had two. Of the conies,
right.
That was
Skyliners.
It.
Yes,
those I had
Skyliners.
Two of them.
Yes,
I had two of them because three might have been bad.
See, I've been to Skyline once we've been over there.
What?
It's not my type of chili.
isn't there
a little on the sweet side?
Huh? Yeah, it is.
No. See, their chili is Cincinnati chili is basically spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
That's why to me it has to be on pasta.
Greek chili.
I like standard chili a little better, more like the American.
I'm not hearing that right.
It's just too much sugar in it. That's just for me.
I don't know that it has sugar in it. It has
something that makes it sweet, yeah.
It has awesome in it is what it has. That's what awesome tastes like.
A lot of awesome.
You guys
check out the new Star Wars trailer that dropped?
Trailer?
What?
When was this?
What? Is it Joe?
When
did this drop?
It was dropped Sunday. Or it was Saturday, I think.
What? Okay. Well, we will have to get back to you.
I'm being
serious. It's the new Star Wars trailer for Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
There's a trailer.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Dawn will find that while we're talking other stuff here and see what's going on with this.
I'm not yanking your leg.
I actually didn't get a chance to look at much of news or anything at all this week because of the conventions and everything else. But I did find two things here, and I know at least one of them's on your list.
He's right. Yeah. Han Solo started filming today.
See, that's one of the news items I had. And the other one is probably one you guys already have also. So, but was there anything else we want to get to about where we've been, where we're going, or anything else before we actually get into a little bit of news?
News?
I don't think so.
We got a couple of news stories, just a couple, and then we're going to get into... Now, for guys who haven't been here for the whole time, most of the geeksters listening have heard, we talk movies. That's what we do a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Well, there's some major film franchises we've never talked about. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of those today.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we'll probably have shows that actually delve into these. But we got to talk a little bit about them. I have five of them on my list. I'm not sure that's going to cross over with you guys also. So, Ms. Dawn, let's get into some news stuff. What do you have for us?
Was that a nap?
That was a nap. Okay, I have a couple things that people may not have seen because I just thought they were kind of fascinating stories. And the first one is geek-related because it involves Marvel tangentially. It's Marvel's chairman was attempting to get a court case about DNA theft.
Okay.
And he's basically been given the go-ahead to do this. Now, of course, I found this fascinating because it's legal. But basically, Isaac Perlmutter, the man I'm sure we'd love to hate, for various reasons, but he's received the go-ahead to pursue a claim that he and his wife's DNA was secretly collected during a deposition. And apparently, I just cracked Vern up.
No.
This is interesting because no ruling has ever been made to determine if a person's genetic material can be considered personal property. And his claim is based on this lawsuit where this businessman from the executive search firm Mendrick Management brought a defamation suit against Perlmutter and his wife. And claiming that they had a hate mail campaign saying he was anti-Semite and a sex offender and all this stuff. So there's this big, like, defamation lawsuit. And they went in to give depositions, and the plaintiff had his former attorney, or attorney at the time, take samples to collect DNA from materials they left behind at the deposition. So they didn't even give permission for anything to be taken. So, anyways, he's gotten the go-ahead to go with this lawsuit, and I just thought it was fascinating because we get to find out if DNA is personal property.
Okay.
Cool. I agree that is fascinating.
Yeah, thank you.
I would say by pure definition, it would be.
No, if it was abandoned.
Yeah. That's probably one of the things
that... it can be left anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, is it yours because it's you? Or
that's what I'm thinking. Since it's actually part of you, how would it not be personal property? But
I think the interesting thing is going to be whether or not it's.
Fuck.
The interesting thing is not whether it's property; it's whether you can use it without their permission.
Right.
Because it might not turn out to be property, because, you know, I'm leaving skin flakes on this table right now.
And I'm collecting them.
Well, no. The thing is, I believe that.
I think we should look back to the case of Clinton versus...
Oh, no.
The blue dress.
Yes, exactly.
Lewinsky.
Yeah. Clinton versus Lewinsky, where there was a DNA material that was left upon a blue dress. And that DNA material was used to prove his presence at a certain location. And he was of the understanding that said blue dress although existed, that said material would have been done away with, which it was not. There was never a question
of
ownership.
He didn't realize that she was a nasty person who was not going to wash her damn clothes.
Objection, Your Honor, she's leading the witness.
Blame the stove.
I'm just saying that there was not a question about ownership at that point.
No, there wasn't.
But although technically he did give it away, so never mind. Never mind. Just say no kids stay in school.
It was a great souvenir.
If you have a piece of clothing with a presidential spurt stain on it, are you going to wash it?
I am. See, I'm not.
I
don't
know. I you are.
Hey, this is going to
be. Only back then was very expensive.
Okay. Well.
Let's move on past this one.
We're moving on. What's one of your stories, Ken?
No, that one was. No, well, the two I had was the Han Solo movie started filming today.
Okay. Did you see its code name?
Yes. That is awesome. That and did
Why
you see
have a code name if they're telling people the code?
It's
name?
A joke.
Because most movies have there is no official title for this movie yet. It's just Star Wars Han Solo.
Now the
code name for or the production name is Red Cup for a Solo movie.
Red Solo.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see, that's funny because
that's lazy, but
wow. Yes.
They do because when I went to go do, aside from doing Dice Squad, I also do a lot of acting work. I was an extra in Winter Soldier. The code name for Captain America Winter Soldier was Freezer Burn.
Yeah. Well, the fun thing also is Chris Miller announced on Twitter today that they were filming Han Solo to start with, and his tweet just said Han first shot. Now, all Star Wars fans and just people who know Star Wars in general understand this. Yep. So that was the two major things out of that one.
How many kids does he have?
Who? Does who have?
Flabber your heads.
Oh, no, I'm not going to that. We've already moved on past that. So that's
hey,
it.
You brought
and,
that.
Remember, Han Solo does actually come out in theaters May 25th of 2018, which is interesting because it's less than 6 months from Episode 8 coming out.
Unless they change it like they did with Episode 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
They were considering changing
so. It. Oh, we never mentioned, also, everybody already knows the name of Episode 8 is Last Jedi. But let's move on to the next one. Everybody in the world already knows this. So.
I have this one's bad news. The New York Times announced that it's no longer going to be showing love to comics, and it's not going to have its graphic novel bestseller list anymore.
Okay. Are they still going to have it, like, online?
And no lists for graphic novels at all. They will no longer have a graphic novel hardcover, softcover, or manga bestseller list as part of their book review section.
Okay.
In their news... In their news coverage, they will still have it. So they'll occasionally do reviews of graphic novels, etc., but they won't have the bestseller list. They claim that they were eliminating a number of print but mostly online bestseller lists, that a lot of these were added as an experiment to see how popular they were. But it's kind of disappointing if you think about the fact that a lot of people look to bestseller lists for ideas of what to read next and, you know, just to find out new titles, new names, and that kind of thing. So,
Well, now they're going to have to turn to, like, sites like Newsarama and some of the other ones. Like, Newsarama, I know, has a lot of previews of stuff coming up and things.
But a lot of people don't look directly to the entertainment blogs and that for that.
Hey! Cam made it, finally!
Oh!
Hey.
I want your thing on Tuesday, because Glenn's...
Way to interrupt our show.
I know! Oh. Walking right in the middle, all late and stuff.
What's up, dog?
But, now, sorry to interrupt on that, but, yeah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does. And it really, it's disappointing considering how... popular comics are getting and are mainstream and that kind of thing, and now they're just like, oh yeah, we don't need the list of them to let people know what's selling well. I mean, Amazon will still have its list.
Yeah.
Enough people go to Amazon and that, but yeah, it's New York Times is kind of sets the bar for the bestseller list.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Everybody looks to them for bestseller of anything.
Yeah.
So
you just have to go to Oprah's list.
Okay, the only other one I had on my list was, we know the whole directors, all the directors for Iron Fist, but there's a notable name in there that, for rap fans. RZA is actually directing an episode of Iron Fist.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to mess with!
Well,
RZA is known as a producer, director.
Okay, I know him as the rapper.
And everything. He dibs and dabs
and
literally everything.
Music scores, yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
So. But, anybody who saw, The Man with the Iron Fist, that was actually directed by RZA.
And he was in it.
And he started it.
And he was started it, yes.
As The Man with the Iron Fist.
It would have been better had he not started it, because it was a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a vanity project.
It was. It felt like he was in the car on a long road trip, and he just kind of made up the movie in that road trip.
Yeah.
And it was just him thinking about
with
himself.
With Quentin Tarantino over his shoulder saying, no, not that.
Yeah. That's right.
So, but it was fun. So it's like... But looking at the martial arts scenes and stuff in there, he has a good idea of how to do
training.
That type of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He
trains.
Yeah.
So
this is the Wu-Tang Clan.
And if you look at the titles for all the Iron Fist episodes, they are all movements within the martial arts. They're named after specific moves.
Mainly Tai Chi moves, but yeah.
Well, that's not surprising.
They actually have his named here. I gotta find... in the article here, the name of the episode for his is Immortal Emerges from Cave.
Yep.
So.
It's a move.
Yep. So that he's directing, and Iron Fist actually comes out in March, doesn't
it's more
it?
Like
it?
Yep,
March.
Like barely a month away.
Streaming on your Netflix service.
Yes.
And we're warning you now that when that does come out, watch it that weekend if you want
that
to listen
Sunday
to
that Sunday we're talking.
We will be talking about it here.
I'm drinking coffee and I'm not going to sleep until I'm done with that show.
It's St. Patrick's Day, the 17th.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm drunk watching that show, too.
I mean, the Chinese.
That's okay.
Food.
Drunken style's a thing.
It is. Drunken fists.
Hey, Jackie Chan made a couple of those. Those were actually pretty good.
They were.
But that's all I had in the way of it. news.
Well,
I have
two more pieces of news that are Doctor Who related.
Okay, yes, I heard
and they're
ones.
Both bad news.
Aww.
The first is that we have lost the first modern Doctor
yes.
of our time. John Hurt passed away late last week. He was the War Doctor. He was 77 years old, and well, if you pay attention to the news and that, you already knew that he had been diagnosed with pancreatic
yeah.
cancer not too long ago. So it wasn't a huge surprise, but it's still a surprise.
Yeah.
And he's a geek icon, really.
Okay,
it's not
yeah.
just,
he's been
it's
in
not just
everything.
A doctor. He was in Harry Potter movies. He was an alien.
Yeah. Yes.
He's been in so
Hellboy,
much stuff.
Too, if
Hellboy, that's
movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was the vocals. He had a vocal role in the animated Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Oh.
Didn't he play the voice of a dragon? Or on the Merlin TV series, he was the voice of the dragon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He was a professor in Indiana Jones and Kingdom of the Crystal
yes.
Skull.
I would not
yeah,
be surprised if he was a geek also.
He probably was.
All this.
Yeah. If he didn't do his research on his characters.
Yeah, I was just like, you know.
So there was that, and just today it was announced that this coming season of Doctor Who was the last one for Peter Capaldi.
Which, actually, if you look at it, that's about where the modern Doctors have been, about three seasons each so far.
Well, not really, if you look at it.
Tennant felt long, but if you look, he actually only had three seasons, because Matt Smith had three seasons. He's going to have three seasons. Season 10's number, and Eccleston only had one.
Eccleston had the one.
So
right.
The thing is, with Tennant, they had all the movies that they had
yeah,
in there also.
He had all the,
it
all
felt
the
like a lot longer run than it actually was.
And it's not surprising that Capaldi's leaving. I mean, a lot of people thought he was only going to be a one seasoner anyway. But yeah, so they announced today, they made it official, that basically when Moffat leaves, Capaldi's leaving. So.
Which actually makes sense, because when Davies left is when Tennant stepped
yes,
out.
Exactly.
So it's a good time to, it basically resets the slate. That's why when Smith stepped in, it felt like a totally different show,
so,
because it
so
was.
So of course now we're going to have like all the speculation on who's going to be the next Doctor. Will it be a young one? Will
yes.
it be an old one?
We did get
it.
They did announce who the new showrunner is going to be. It's, I forget his name off the top of my head. Give me a minute. It's
that
the
was
guy
a while
who did,
ago.
Yeah.
Mark Gatiss.
Huh?
Is it Mark Gatiss?
No.
No, he still
no.
works with
okay.
hand in hand with him. It was a while ago that they mentioned Chibnall.
Yeah.
Chris Chibnall.
Yes. And he's actually the showrunner for Broadchurch right now. He did Broadchurch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So interestingly, the BBC had actually asked Capaldi to stay on after Moffat's departure.
Yeah.
But didn't want to do it. So those are a couple things, and we'll have to wait and see the 10th season.
Yeah. Actually, there's one more piece of news that Cameron just reminded me of. The creator of Pac-Man died. Was it today or yesterday?
Yesterday.
And what was his
yesterday.
Name?
Yesterday. I think.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Which, for young kids,
like,
some of them may not understand.
He was 91, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, may not understand what this was, but anybody who remembers back far enough, Pac-Man basically exploded arcades way bigger than they were. I mean, we had pinball machines and people had playing Pong and stuff, but when Pac-Man hit, that was like, you could measure video game growth by, you had Pong hit and it got big and we had pinball machines, then Pac-Man hit and exploded.
Yes.
And then we had Mario, which was the beginning of the death of the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like there's certain characters that hit in video gaming that have made major impacts, and Pac-Man was one of the huge ones.
Did
so,
they have a cartoon on that too?
They have multiple
they
cartoons.
Have so many, yeah.
We don't talk about those.
Yeah, they've actually done some very good modern games.
Yes.
Yes, they have.
So I gotta look up the name real quick.
Go for it. I actually remember seeing a museum exhibition. The creator was one of those old school makers who, even in a time where he could have been making the Pac-Man maps entirely digitally, he decided to do it all on graph paper before moving it over into the systems.
Wow.
Oh,
the
cool.
original arcade game. So there was a museum display that was just the graph paper versions of all 256 original maps.
Oh.
No, that is amazing. Wait. Oh.
You were...
Haha, I got it right here. Masaya Nakamura.
That's right.
So, in the geek community, Pac-Man's a huge thing, so we gotta say goodbye. He is a geek legend. Even if you never knew his name, you knew
mm-hmm.
his work.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
He was also the founder of Namco, which it
yes.
was basically what arcades were at the beginning.
Namco got so much of my money, it's not even funny. I might put like two or three people through at least half of their college education. Yeah.
All in quarters.
All in quarters.
Quarters, exactly.
So,
hey, don't.
And now you put people through college all with dollar bills.
So
we don't talk about that.
$60 I edited myself. I was going to say worse.
Back when it was still over.
Okay, so that's all the news. Did you have any other news? Yeah,
that's all I got.
Why don't we talk some movies?
We should talk movies.
We should talk
so, movies. The first one I have on my list. What?
I'm going to duck out for the movie conversation because I haven't been to the theaters in about a month.
Well, these are all old stuff.
It's about franchises.
Movie franchises we've not talked about before.
Fair enough. I don't have
some of these are older.
Just to tell you why,
Tolkien or anything
how this got inspired, we were thinking about how on our first anniversary episode, we made a big deal about Buckaroo Banzai because we were like, we're waiting for the first year, we're waiting for the first year. So we were trying to think for the second year, what can we make a kind of a bigger deal about for the second year? And Kylan and I were talking and thought, what about movie sequels? But then once you start looking into movie sequels, you realize most of them are part of franchises, trilogies, whatever. So.
Yeah, because if a geek likes something, they don't want just one. They don't want just two. You keep giving it to us, we'll keep giving you money.
So there's really not a lot, except for like present-day movies, there's not a lot that just have a sequel.
Right. Yeah.
You know, in the geek world, they're going to go far.
Although there is one, but it would be a pretty big spoiler for a pretty recent piece.
Okay.
How okay are we with that?
Whatever, we spoil stuff, but wait.
If you're talking about the movie currently in theaters that I think you're talking about, no.
Wait, what?
Which one?
The one where it's far separated from the original by
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say
okay.
it.
But I know what you're talking about. My argument
I'm
as well.
Stoked.
I read spoilers, so I know.
and I was tempted, but I was like, we don't want to.
Nope. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, my list went back to the movies that started late 70s, early 80s mostly is what I went through, because that's the start of most movie franchises for geeks.
A lot of them, yes.
The first one I put up was... it was actually the Alien franchise.
Yeah.
Now that one's had. It started Alien, Aliens, and Alien 3, and then it started getting even crazier after that. We had Alien Resurrection, which was okay, but then you got all the Alien versus Predator movies, and then they're working on
Prometheus. Well,
that's just
Prometheus, it,
because
then you
have
the crossovers.
Exactly.
Predator as
well, the
franchise,
Predator's on my list
Alien
also.
Alien as a franchise.
Yes. So as of right now, there's four, if you count the two Alien versus Predator, that's six, plus Prometheus, and then we have Alien Covenant coming out this summer. That's seven.
Prometheus. Do we have to?
It's
yes.
part of the
franchise. It's part of the franchise.
Wait,
and I actually
like
thought that was a decent movie.
Is,
it wasn't
what he
fantastic.
Was doing with that, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
It was always a great movie, but I didn't know what they were doing, and fans got
now,
out and they
say,
spoiled some stuff and
I
ruined it.
I have to say, when I was... I saw Alien when I was little. Like,
not
I
yeah.
saw it...
He didn't say
it. I was probably not even 10 years old when I saw it, because it was... I'm pretty sure it was, like, when it came out on VHS or something.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad loved... sci-fi movies.
Yes.
So if there was one out, he was going to be watching it, and I watched it with him, and it scared the crap out of me at the time.
See, that's what's weird, because some late 80s, early 90s, a lot of times, since you were stuck watching whatever's on TV back then, so around Halloween, they always have the list of the top 10 scariest movies ever and stuff, and I was surprised when I actually saw Alien on the list.
I was, too.
Because
when I was a little kid, it scared me.
I watched as a little kid. Did not scare me. I'm just like, sci-fi, cool.
That's what. That's the thing. I think that's the difference with me. I watched it knowing it's a science fiction movie.
Right.
I didn't realize it was considered a horror movie.
I didn't either until
so
I got
for
older.
Some reason, psychologically, it didn't make me jump. I wasn't scared.
Yeah.
Well, I remember because I'm probably one of the few that have yet to see the original.
You've never seen the original?
Never seen the original. But see,
oh,
I do, like, because the thing was, I remember the ads for it when I was a kid, and all the ads were about it being a horror movie, so I just kind of stayed away from it.
Say what?
But the thing was, just about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, there was a Green Lantern versus Alien comic that came out.
Yeah,
good book.
Scared the crap out of me. There's this one part where Kyle Rayner lost his ring, and it lands right in the middle of
the
nest.
Abandoned house.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. I'll spend the night in a haunted prison, and I don't think anything about it. I'm sitting there reading. He drops his ring and lands right there in the middle of the nest, and I'm just sitting there like,
okay, can I just when we went to Disney years ago, we did go to the studios, and the MGM ride at one point has the alien scene, and
yeah,
the mother alien drops out
oh, nice.
From the ceiling on you.
I had to tell Kylan this was coming. I had been on this ride a few times already. I told him, I'm like, honey, there's going to be an alien dropping from the ceiling at any moment now. Just be prepared.
Well, you don't want to have to have
Kylan. Green Lantern.
No, because I would have been punching because I've been like...
I purposely got Kylan to sit at the side of the car that we were in so that he wouldn't be dead on something. Like
see, yeah, he's got a question
see what a good
for you. What?
So I'm not a super Green Lantern fan, but can't they just like force will their rings to come back?
No, actually, no. With the Green Lantern, no. If you're, ring, you're not holding the ring, you can't do it.
It's not like a Jedi thing.
Yeah. No. It stays
but,
on.
But willpower. You should be able to will your ring.
Unless you're Hal Jordan.
That's called
unless
force.
You're Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
It does not
yeah,
work.
Unless
you're
Hal
franchise.
Jordan.
Hal Jordan's
but,
going to do something like that.
No, see, the nice thing about Aliens was it has the elements that I like in horror movies. Like, I'm not big on bloody gory. I'm not big on, like, the newer way people go with all the torture and all that. No,
yeah.
I want a good jump scare. And that's what this movie was, the original. Then Alien 2 did a lot of that, too. Alien 3 and 4 started to get a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And that's all the game was, too. And not the bad jump scare. It's like, oh, here's another jump scare. It's like, oh, crap.
The awesome thing about the Alien movies, though, is that at least the first couple, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because of everything they're based on and Geiger and all of the art that it's based on, they're gorgeous movies just to watch and like to see the behind-the-scenes sets and and the sketches for the for the characters, the aliens and stuff. It's just awesome.
Yeah. Well, the
didn't Gen Con in their LARP room or their LAM room, didn't they have one of the statues
of an alien?
Yeah, remember you kind of pulled me away because I kept wanting to go in that room.
Quite possibly. They may have had one of the big aliens in
they
there.
They did because they had all the Alienware, but then
you know
they had that sitting there.
Okay.
Remember?
That's kind of starting to... mind is starting... There was so much stuff at Gen Con
that
they
had one of the
insane.
Really, really nice-looking alien statues.
Yeah.
And you kind of kept
well, the one thing that Aliens has that is, I think, unique among it and one other franchise in sci-fi is actually a crossover with another franchise.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't happen in sci-fi movies. Mm-hmm. TV, once in a while, you get it, and then books and comic books, you get it all the time.
Right.
Like, there are hundreds, probably, at this point, of Alien comics and Predator comics.
With Batman.
And crossovers with everybody known to man has been on this. I have, I think, from the 90s.
Saw it, too.
What? Okay. I don't know. I'm trying to remember, but...
Yeah, the one that was, like, 6 foot tall.
Yeah, but we gotta talk Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Predator,
yeah.
Now, the original one... It didn't have as much of the jump scares, but you, how many iconic just one-liners that are still quoted to this day that
stick
came
around.
Out of that one? The whole everybody's mess around and get to the chopper. That's not Predator.
Get to the chopper.
And the funny thing is, like, Predator is such an action movie.
Yes.
Like, it's not just a straight sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It's an action movie that has a sci-fi element.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not completely a sci-fi
very
movie.
Very unique.
Exactly. And then you had you had this great movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura and all these other big
it's
action guys in it.
It's an action movie.
It really is.
And then
it's
they,
so
didn't,
good.
Didn't they
it
do
was, like, so, like, over the top.
Yeah.
Then they followed up with a sequel with Danny Glover in the sewers of a city.
And that was just like,
I
feel like that should just been a strip on
and then they had a few years of a gap and decided to like revitalize both franchises.
Well, why would
what happened with that?
Predator.
The movie should not have been rated PG-13. It should have been like the other ones. You know, maybe rated R.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been a completely.
Well,
different.
You know what? You know why they did the Alien vs. Predator movies? It's because they had sold so many comic books of Alien vs. Predator.
And the video game.
They should have done a comic or a movie adaptation of the actual comic.
That's what I was thinking.
That was actually one of the options people were thinking of when they thought, but it wasn't. Now, as a movie on its own, I thought the Alien vs. Predator was a decent movie. Had a cool story in the way they did it.
I like one lot.
As an Alien movie, or as a Predator movie, it wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a standalone movie, it would have been fantastic. And then even the second one, that they did out in the jungle or whatever. That wasn't bad either.
The second one, the one in the town with like the teenagers.
Yeah, I hated that.
Was that it?
Okay.
Well
it didn't
like
make it, and it came
Friday
out on Christmas
Jason,
too. And I'm like, who put
it
this together?
Into like that slasher movie. Type.
And it never
we
explained
know,
the end either.
Yeah.
Alien has come back with Prometheus, which is very divisive.
Did,
huh?
We did have a Predators.
Yes.
Yeah. Predators 3.
We'll get to that
in
just a second.
Okay, we're still on Alien.
But Alien came back after the Alien vs. Predator with the Prometheus, which is a divisive movie. People either really liked it or they really, really didn't.
Right.
So it depends on how you come out. I happen to come down on it. I thought it was a good movie. I liked it as a prequel for the original Aliens, and the fact that until you get to the end of it, you don't see that it's actually an alien movie.
Yeah.
Right.
You see the possibilities of it being
there. It is a neomorph now. They've gave it a title.
I don't remember the trailer as much as I should.
And the trailer was like one of the best ones they said that year.
Now, if it said it was alien, like you said, the marketing, if they had changed the marketing, I think it would have done much better.
If they had been like a new horror experience in space,
I say the internet ruined the movie because Ridley Scott he didn't want to say anything. Everybody's like, it's a prequel. And I remember now. I don't blame the guy who made the movie now. I blame the internet because they're the ones that were speculating and everybody assumed. Ridley said, I'm keeping this under wraps because I want to just make a story in the Alien franchise, and now we're getting two.
I mean, even without the internet reactions, the fact is the movie's writing was just not great.
I agree with that.
I watched the extended cut. I liked it a lot better.
Really?
Well, yes, I mean, you go up into space, you have all this technology, and then all hell breaks loose, and you're like... You don't have precautions for these kind of things.
Wait. Did you see the other Alien movies?
That's what I'm saying. The other Alien movies.
Yeah.
The same way.
But I mean, like.
Okay. You know what? My biggest complaint. I know we're not just talking about Prometheus, but I enjoyed the movie as just on its own merit, as like a cheesy action movie.
Yeah.
But okay, you got all these people that have specialties. There's like a geologist and a biologist and whatever. And the biologist discovers like the egg sac or whatever it is in the cave. And he's like, oh, I found a strange alien organism growing in a cave. I'll stick my face in it. biologist, your whole point of being there is to make sure that alien monsters don't eat everybody.
The one scene that still gets me is when, Thorn. Her. She was running straight. Yeah, just running straight. Just running straight. And it's coming down straight. I'm like, left, right, somewhere.
Everyone knows Beavenbach.
And also, similarly, there's a scene where the dust cloud, like, she's on, like, a dune buggy or something. Yeah. Somebody is chasing, like, the main vehicle. And they're like, I can't see anything. And, like, go a little bit to the right and you won't be in the exhaust place. You see where you're going.
And then my dude just came up and he was like crippled and then his legs went back and stood up back. If I see anybody laying like that, I'm not coming to you. You're dead. There's no point in me checking on you.
Right.
Well, we know the alien...
never send smart people into space.
Well, we know at this point the Alien franchise is still up and running because this summer we have Alien Covenant.
That's right.
And the first trailer for that does look good.
Yes.
I was
a fan of Prometheus still, so...
But then Predator came back after Alien vs. Predator with Predators, which was okay.
It wasn't
the original by any stretch of the imagination. But it was okay.
As
far as I know, Predator at the moment is done.
That was the last one.
They've not announced that they're working on anything else. Mm-hmm. So
wait, I thought there's a new one that they're working on.
I don't know. I know the alien one. I don't know about it. Okay.
I thought I heard something about that too, but not for sure.
But,
there is a new Predator.
Miss Dawn, what was the.
Only the internet was working.
I have 4G anywhere I go, so I'm good.
So, Miss Dawn, what did you have as your first one on the list?
Well, we have a lot of them, but I'm going to go with Blade.
Ah, the Blade series. That one actually came out.
As a franchise, as a trilogy, it's one of the kind of originators of the modern skew of comic movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this was one of the ones that proved. This was one of the Blade was the one that showed you can actually do a comic book movie on the big screen with the looking like the comic books.
Mm-hmm. Right. The only thing they changed from Wright was his accent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. And Wesley Snipes, this was actually a good movie for him.
Yes, that was Wesley made the character same as Downey Jr. and everybody else.
Well, if I remember, a lot of people thought Wesley Snipes when they first cast this. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, this guy is not going to work for this.
He
bulked up for it. And it actually looked like Blade.
Well, the other thing is, though, a lot of people did not know the character Blade very well.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped. We all know that really helped for comic book movies.
Yeah, right.
When, you know, like with Guardians of the Galaxy, people didn't know it, had low expectations anyway, and you went in enjoying it. So it was kind of like that with Blade, where people weren't all that familiar with the character. And a lot of people didn't even realize it was a comic book movie.
Yeah,
right.
They just thought it was an action vampire movie.
Yeah.
Those were rated R, weren't they?
All of them.
The funny
were
thing
R.
is, kids knew who Blade was already because he had already been all over the comic or the cartoons.
Yeah, he was all over
on
Spider-Man.
How
many 6-year-olds now know who Deadpool is?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now the thing was,
6-year-old mentions Deadpool. I'm looking like,
Who are your parents?
Well, yeah, but Deadpool's been on Spidey.
Yeah, no.
When I went to, I see that movie so many times.
Well, no,
they're just kids.
It's
in
when
the
6 year olds.
Like,
when
you're
the
not supposed to be here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When the 6 year olds tell me about them seeing the movie, I'm like, what?
Where are your parents?
What happened when I went and saw the movie for the first time. When Cameron and I were seeing the movie, there was a couple in front of us that had looked like a 7 year old boy with them, and I was just so confused on why he was here.
Of course, he's
little. Explain what pegging is.
Deadpool toy, and he's posing him in the action scenes that were in the movie. I'm like, you're four. You should not be. Well, you don't know about Deadpool.
The Predator, being directed by Shane Black, begins filming this.
Shane Black is doing everything at the moment.
Oh, yes. But he's playing in Predator. He played in the first one, right?
He was in the first one.
Yeah.
Andy Rogers.
Hey, right. Billy!
Yes.
Ooh. Your girlfriend, she... Classic.
So continue with Blade as we continue off.
Twice. Now, the thing is, I think... Overall, as a trilogy, all the Blade movies are pretty good.
Yes.
The first one was the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As always, it seems to be.
Yeah.
But even through Blade Trinity, it was good. Like, the story held up.
Yeah.
You're the first person I ever heard say that, too.
I have not seen Trinity because I've been told by so
most
many people.
No,
I've
rewatched that movie like over 10 times.
All I got to say is this is one Vicky can appreciate, too, because when I met her, she had a couple of Pomeranians. They have vampire Pomeranians.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. the movie itself was.
Uno.
It's like Netflix. Like, if they just would have put that on Netflix, it would have been fine.
But
the fact that
was
in theater.
Having the three of them together as the action, because you knew these other characters from the comics, even if you only vaguely knew them. Yeah. And to see them on the big screen.
How good can it be? He's in it for like three seconds.
But to be honest with you, Ryan Reynolds was the. In my opinion, the best part of that movie.
This was awesome. That's how Ryan Reynolds proved he could do action superhero movies.
This was actually the first action movie he did, I think.
That movie got mad props for me because Hannibal Kane is such a
underrated,
deep, underrated Marvel character. And they brought him, and I'm like, this movie has Hannibal Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same as with Green Lantern. Yes. Deadpool. Any character Ryan Reynolds really plays.
That's the thing. This was Ryan Reynolds' start. Of a long line, or will be a long line by the time he's done, of comic book characters.
It was 2004 when Trinity came out.
Yeah.
So it really was the beginning of him getting noticed.
Actually,
and we had Triple H in the movie.
Yes. And it showed that there was another one that showed that a wrestler could actually play
a part in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he didn't do bad.
He could play a part.
Yeah,
yeah,
really
he did.
Act.
Yeah, he did. He was a big
some
muscle guy.
Can.
That's like the
that's
second.
Usually, the wrestlers are just muscle guys that are henchmen.
And he had one-liners. He couldn't go wrong there.
Yeah.
They gave him enough, and
they wrote a part for him to do.
Yeah,
well, he was never a mic man either. Like,
no,
that's true. That's true.
So he was always the pretty boy of the group.
The Blade movies, like. I now maybe I was wrong for doing this, but I decided I need to have a Blade like marathon.
We
so I grabbed my
again.
Dog, my dog Bonsai, and I sat down, and she made it through the first one, but then the second one, I think there was just too much violence for her.
The second one's awesome.
And so she turns her back to the screen, and then by the third one, she's like trying to get out of the room, like she was just done. I'm like, you know, all three of those movies together. You just get so like keyed up, like you just feel like this. I need stuff.
But two gave an insight on a lot of characters in that movie.
Yeah,
we got Daryl and we got Hellboy.
Yes, that's true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and then we got the same guy that got his head sliced plays in Daredevil, or at least for a little bit,
that's
and
true.
He got his head shot off again.
That's right.
Well, and actually, we need to mention, because the Blade did continue and actually created a TV series out of it.
We're talking about movie franchises.
No, I'm saying this spawned other things.
We're not talking about horrible TV series
I had fun with the series.
With rappers who could not act.
Sticky fingers as Blade is blasphemy.
No, man, we can't talk about that. Man, that's just...
I only watch things I'm expecting to like.
You never go with Ken's opinion on anything.
Man, that's just
likes it all.
No, he doesn't.
Not all.
There was something I didn't like. What was that?
Man of Steel.
No, Man of Steel was okay, is what I said.
It was a little dark. If it's dark, he doesn't like it. That's
so, but, fine. We'll move to one. Yeah, it was. The extended cut was good.
The extended cut was good. I will go by that.
Because I heard this. I was just on my way over. I was listening to Fat Man on Batman.
Now, I'm not mean to put any branding on anyone's parade. I know we got a Wonder Woman movie coming.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
From Mark Bernardin, I heard that he has a reliable source mm-hmm. that saw the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Said it was kind of like Batman v Superman. Had a lot of...
That it was bad. That's
well, no, not bad.
But
he had said it had the same problems as Batman versus Superman. Yeah. There was a lot of disconjoining plots. And
I believe that. You know why I believe that? Warner Brothers doesn't know how to leave their hand out of things they should have put it in.
Okay, we've gone into Warner Brothers.
Yes, I said this on our show. Warner Brothers is what's screwing up the movies.
That's Mechanical Spider.
So, but let's move on to one that most people will agree on. Indiana Jones. We've never talked to Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones did open my eyes to the possibility of how fun history could actually be.
See, I knew this one would fit for you because Indiana Jones is a pulp hero.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the way that it's written.
I mean, what the shirt you're wearing kind of, it was inspiration from.
It was like a spin spin on it.
Yeah.
It was DuckTales. How many things have we seen that are spins off of different things from Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, there were a couple of TV series that, like, maybe the season after Raiders of the Lost Ark, there was one called Tales of the Gold Monkey. I love that show.
Yeah. That was
good.
Bring
them back alive. And then Bring them back alive lasted like half a season. Tales of the Gold Monkey only lasted
Tales
like...
Tales of the Gold Monkey was the inspiration for Tailspin.
Yes.
Like, really.
Probably.
I'm going to start calling you Lil Britches.
That's your new nickname.
Short round. Well, actually, the Indiana Jones franchise was the first time that I can ever remember of actually getting a prequel after a movie's already been made.
That's true.
That's
because
right.
the Temple,
yeah.
Temple of Doom happened was before
prequel.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know until a couple of years ago.
But yeah, when you're a kid watching these, it doesn't matter.
I remember seeing it mattered to me because it didn't feel right.
It didn't.
You were an old man
by 84. So
you already did three tours in Nam.
Exactly.
I'm sitting there, I'm liking this movie. I want to like it. But it doesn't feel...
Sense.
I'm like, it doesn't feel like... After Raiders.
It doesn't have the fun sense that
no,
right.
it did.
That's because of
Spielberg's divorce.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
Whitney, what was that girl's name?
Willie.
Who cares?
Yeah, Willie. I didn't like Willie.
I didn't.
Because
my mom
married to Spielberg.
My mom's one of those people that will watch any movie and not complain, really, unless it's really something bad. She could not stand that woman in that movie.
She just like, it's kind of like, really, Yoko? That's how it felt. So, yeah, that explains it.
Okay, well, that movie had some dark stuff that they hadn't really put in movies.
Oh, man. Molly, what was it?
That
my mom.
Ripping someone's heart out.
That's true.
The worst thing that you think got all the censors and all the parents upset.
Was it the feast?
When he smacks
Oh, yeah, the feast.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, mind controlled to be evil
mm-hmm.
temporarily, and he smacks Short Round in the face.
Yes.
That was like, I remember all the talk shows and stuff at that time, because I was like 10 or 11.
Because violence,
like,
child abuse.
They were all
wait,
like,
what? No, that's like just a child. What you mean?
I tried.
That depended on your upbringing, really.
I tried to watch Kingdom of the Crystal Skull the other day, like a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I remember hating it when I saw it in the theater.
Right.
And I'm like, I love Indiana Jones movies. The first three are three of my favorite movies ever.
Right.
I started watching Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. And I got like halfway through it. I'm like, I just can't.
The thing is, I love
the Shia LaBeouf effect.
Get
the fridge. Get the fridge, Andy.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I have yet to see Kingdom of the Crystal. And I love Indiana Jones.
That's
but
bad.
Everybody I heard, they're like, you say,
well,
also,
my buddy went to go see that. He doesn't go out to see movies. Not now he does, but at first
it felt
he saw
real
that.
Weird.
He said, I hate Indiana Jones. I was like, you didn't
it
see that.
It felt really
he
weird
never seen
for them
it.
To
he's
be going
like,
out
yeah,
out
I
aliens.
Never seen him. Like, oh.
Having,
I'm sorry.
The whole going into aliens
you know,
felt weird for Indiana
the
Jones.
The issue with me wasn't the plot.
Yeah.
Because Indiana Jones is weird, you know, pulpy stuff. It's just everything about that movie. The pacing, the action, the special
the
effects.
Refrigerator?
The refrigerator was the worst.
Oh,
the Tarzan yell while they're swinging.
With the groundhogs, too.
Yeah, the groundhogs.
The red fire ants.
Gophers from whatever. Like yeah. Prairie dogs.
Well,
from
see, the aliens are the least of the problems.
Oh, yeah. They were.
I didn't mind about it. You had, first movie with face-melting Nazis. Come on.
And you're going to have ninjas that just hang out in the cemetery.
If you eliminate Indiana Jones,
I guess they'll pop out of the ground. No.
The plot would still go on without him.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
They would still find the Ark.
That's true.
And everything would go on without
him. You know what really, like, in the first, like, 10 minutes of that movie, the thing, I watched the new Tarzan movie, and it has the exact same problem. When people swing on whips and ropes and vines, they're not attached to anything, ever. Like, they're holding on to it, and it's swinging like it's on some kind of, like, zip line. You're supposed to be swinging on a whip that's attached to that rafter. How are you going in a straight line?
It's a magical cinema.
It's not
art.
No.
Like, you well, know
no, it's like.
Like I said, this is.
A straight line.
It's like you just take the rope. It's really easy.
It's over a long time.
Just think we're going around the
heat. Well, we know this one is another one that is. There is supposed to be a fifth movie coming. I know Spielberg, at least Spielberg and Harrison Ford have said they're going to. They want to do it.
Right.
So we
Wait,
don't know
does
when.
Does this mean Indiana's dead?
But I don't know.
That's a good question.
But it is. But
no, Indy doesn't. Indy grows to be a very old man because in the Adventures of Indiana Jones,
Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
He's like 90 something. You know,
he's
he loses
get
an eye in there somewhere.
And have a heart attack.
Yeah.
This is the one where he explains how he survived a nuclear blast in a fridge.
But this is one we are definitely going to have to, because this is going to be multiple shows to actually talk this franchise correctly.
Yes,
So let's move on and see what else we can touch
Nathan
on here.
Dragon Tomb Raider, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, well, also.
Oh, we've talked that.
Yes, well, we've talked. There are how many different video game franchises that have based themselves on the idea
of
Indiana Jones.
There's a mobile app too, Temple Run.
Like you said, Temple Run, Tomb Raider, Nathan Drake was the
Uncharted franchise.
Uncharted, all these
series,
things
yeah.
that basically are directly made because of Indiana Jones. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, but what's the next one you got on your list?
We're going to go into Librarian because it's kind of adjacent to that.
True.
That show is so campy, though.
It is, but it's good.
But it's movies.
Yeah, it's movies.
Like
what, three movies
to
start with?
By the way, here's the thing. I watched the series. I haven't seen the
four movies.
You have to see the movies.
Oh, have to see
the movies. The movies all take place before
the
series.
The movies are very Indiana Jones.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, where the three?
And it's just
the show seems more like Doctor Who.
Some of them, too.
A little bit more,
a little
yeah.
Bit more like
it's a problem with a week show, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of like they treat each one like a pulp adventure.
Yeah. They go into the jungle and they look for artifacts.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
And so, so like The Librarian.
I knew you would like it anyway because it's a Newhart movie.
Well, you know what?
That's what got him to watch the first one.
That's what got
him
to watch it.
Newhart.
But see, all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm watching this because it's Bob Newhart. And then I'm like 15 minutes into it, and I'm just drawn in because this guy works for the New York City Metropolitan Library, but underneath the library is this place that holds all these like legendary objects that like protect the world.
It's actually
essentially the warehouse of Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Or the Warehouse
13.
Yeah.
Warehouse 13 is in
Which
the library.
The Librarians is pretty much the replacement for Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then apparently Excalibur likes to play.
Excalibur is sentient and goes after people.
And it taught him how to fight with the sword.
That's true.
And so,
the sword.
Yeah, so the series like the first one goes after the Spirit of Destiny. The second one was the
King Solomon
mine, and the third one was the Judas Chalice, which actually involved vampires. And
because of course,
and the movies
all star Noah Wiley. That's why he's in the show. The movies were all Noah Wiley was the librarian,
and it was awesome because this guy Noah Wiley is sort of like an everyman kind of guy, but he knows all this stuff and he's having to learn how to be actiony. Although he's super...
Well, he's an introverted geek, really, from the beginning, because all he did was go to school and get degree after degree after degree.
Yeah, it's a totally different character at the beginning of the first movie from what you get in the TV series.
And then he's forced out into the real world.
Do you guys watch the TV series? Wow.
Yes.
Okay, last week's episode.
I've not seen it, but that's okay.
I'm not going to knock the show, okay? Because I don't watch it that often.
Right.
But it had what, in my mind right now, is the cheesiest, worst line ever spoken on a TV show.
That's just normal for the series.
What line was that?
It's time to taste library.
I missed that.
The stupid vampires. It's all these like 20 vampires that can teleport. They move like the Flash.
Yes.
They show them in the scene before. Like, you can't even see them move.
Right.
Then they get into like a fist fight with two of the librarians,
mm-hmm.
and it's all your standard like.
Well, yeah.
Kind of fighting on TV, and they're beating the crap out of these vampires who move like the Flash. But one of the vampires goes, "It's time to taste librarian." And then he shows his teeth. I'm like, seriously?
Well,
is this directed by Joel Schumacher?
It's good. It's a good little adventure series.
Your PSN.
Hmm?
Your PSN.
Okay.
Why
are we doing this now?
Because I'm going to forget because I'm old.
What?
Cam needs to stop interrupting the show for reasons that
that's Vicky's job, thank you.
Well, she's been on her phone, so I
But, the librarians,
admittedly, librarians is made for TV movies, but still, it's a
good movie franchise, one we have not talked about that is another major, major movie franchise that we're probably going to end up talking later again is Terminator.
Right.
We've never talked about Terminator on here. How much James Cameron moved to, like Lucas did with Star Wars, how much advancements in cinema were made because of these movies?
Yeah.
Especially Terminator 2. It was the first time you actually got what was considered to be realistic CG graphics.
True.
For the T-1000, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, if you watch the movies to this day, it still looks good.
I'll still say this. Movie-wise, not all I agree with. But story-wise, it was all good. They had a good story.
Yeah,
even
the later movies, I thought had decent stories.
Yeah,
I liked the way the canon of the movies continued.
Right, I did too.
And even up to now, with what was the last one, Genesis. Stayed in the same canon. They didn't try rebooting, or they did almost a soft reboot by doing this, but they kept it in this canon line with all the rest.
Genesis had a lot.
Kind of like
problems,
a Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
Recently.
Oh God!
Yeah, it was a the first two Terminator movies were great action movies. The other ones were just kind of fun romps to go through.
The issue with the third one to me is that it wasn't the second one. Like the second one set the bar so high.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And the third one was a pretty decent action movie.
It was,
and it did carry the story. It did some interesting stuff where the world actually basically got blown up.
See, that's what I thought was awesome about 3 was you actually get to the point where Skynet takes over and blows up the world.
Sarah Connor kept having those visions,
and the whole time they're assuming the Terminator's helping them to stop Judgment Day.
You can't stop
where his whole
the
he without telling them the whole time is basically get into the bunker so they can hide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's been programmed to know that you're not going to stop it. But you need to be there at the end afterwards.
I
learned
that.
So,
still is the fourth one without arms.
The love of Doctor.
I absolutely that one is my favorite.
That one was Salvation, wasn't it?
Yeah, Salvation. And I really thoroughly enjoy all the Terminators, but by far that was my favorite.
Well, the nice thing with that one is you actually got. In the first two especially, everybody, you see all these short clips of what the future looks like.
Right.
Which is cool, and everybody loves all the models and stuff they use, and it looks like for a destroyed world, it's awesome world to work in. Well, in Terminator 4, in Salvation, you actually get to see this world and the way it actually works, and them hiding from the Terminators and such. Mm-hmm. So,
can we have a moment of silence for all the extras who donated their skulls to make this series?
That was Poltergeist.
Speaking of Terminator and skulls, I do have to say that the one thing that we can thank Terminator Genesis for the most, above anything else, is giving us the cheesiest and worst WrestleMania intro possibly that any wrestler has ever had.
You were definitely...
Oh, yes.
I forgot about that.
No, when Genesis came out, Triple H at WrestleMania had a Terminator entrance where it was like a five-minute long thing.
Oh, let's not forget that Arnold Schwarzenegger was a DLC for that game that year.
It was weird.
Really?
It was bad.
It was
bad.
And not the good result.
But hey, we got
to
see somebody.
I have the network. Maybe we'll watch that at some point. I have it at the network. We're going to get these guys watching.
Oh, my God.
Or Alexa Bliss.
So.
Some
of them were.
That was all of these ones we're going to revisit at some point,
right?
Because all of them need more than the 5 minutes we're getting.
Was that where they were?
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the next one you have on your list? I have one more major one on my list. There's other ones I'm remembering as we go.
I would say the next one would have to be Matrix.
Okay.
I think it was this.
Because it at least, unlike so many of these sci-fi ones we've talked about, it's intelligent.
It's philosophical and makes you think.
Yeah.
The other ones are just
the first,
like,
especially the first Matrix movie.
Yeah.
When you're trying to, he's figuring out what this is he's dealing with.
Yeah.
This, the other ones, you already know all the behind the scenes stuff and what's going
on. It's more a matter of like watching all of them. It's one huge movie.
Yes. Yes.
You know, yeah. It's a true trilogy in that sense. Unlike just let's continue a story kind of. Make something go along with the other movie that doesn't really, but let's have a sequel.
Wasn't it really? They actually wrote, they wrote these this way.
Wasn't it cybernetic Alice in Wonderland, basically? Wasn't that the idea for it?
Kind of, because they had the rabbit.
Like, wasn't it? It was kind of a reverse.
Reverse?
That was reverse.
It was, yeah. I know it was inspired. Some, a lot of things in there was inspired by Alice in Wonderland.
It's more like the Bible, really.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because you end up, especially like by the time you get to the third one, You see all the...
Everything has a beginning and an ending.
Yeah.
That was an Alice in Wonderland too, though.
Well, did you ever... Also when you went to like when you first saw the movie, The Matrix 1...
Yes.
Yeah. Did you ever think, when you walked out... Like, because when I was younger, and I saw the movie, and I walked out, and I was like... What if I am, like, in, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole time you're like,
and I'm
that.
Like, what if, like, I'm really jacked into, like, The Matrix, and, like... Everything's like not real.
You start looking
like,
for glitches.
But then, no, but then you realize you start looking around at your life and you're like, well, this would suck if it's the not real stuff. Like, why don't I have a better life if this is the Matrix stuff?
That was one of the things we're heading towards.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have a much more exciting life with parties and stuff.
Yeah. Well, he was just a regular hacker, though.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think he really had a good life. And then when he realized that. My whole life was a lie. Yeah.
Right.
And then he went to go see the Oracle, and the Oracle was like, I'm sorry, kid, you're not the one. You got the gift, but looks like you're missing.
Well, this was actually, Keanu Reeves, his second movie that actually was an action movie. If you count Point Break as an action movie, technically.
Yeah.
This was really his first major foray into action, because he did a lot of fighting and stuff in this one.
He actually trained.
And he has gone he's been way over on that.
Like John Wick. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was sitting there.
Isn't there a second one?
And I love, because it never fails, if I'm flipping through and The Matrix is on, I always manage to get to the very same part when he gets jacked in and they decide they're going to give him combat training. And I'm like,
The best part of that, though, is when you watch him get jacked in and just his acting on it. It's like, and you feel that when he's doing it, too, because you see this giant needle thing is slammed into the back of his head.
I'm like, I had to go through stances. I had to get punched. I had to get kicked. I had to get thrown on the ground. You just laid there with something stuck in your head. And it's like, I know kung fu. And I'm like, yeah.
But would you rather go through all the stuff you did or have this giant needle thing slammed in the back of your head?
I think I'd take the needle in my head, man.
Or here's the other thing. If given the opportunity, let's say that, like, The Matrix was real, and, like, tomorrow someone comes up to you and says, you take the blue pill or the red pill, what would you choose?
You know, I ask myself that at least once a week.
But here's the better question. What happens if you take both?
Yeah.
Ooh. Nah, you can't handle all that.
You can't handle all that. Probably, I mean...
They would cancel out
you probably
said
fault. It's right. Actually, wouldn't taking the pill that keeps you in the Matrix be the same as not taking any of it?
Well, yeah, it's a placebo.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
So, thing is, you know what? I want to know. I would want to know what the real is.
I would.
That you wouldn't?
Not if I had to live in a sewer.
But you don't know, man.
They have awesome raves in the sewer.
They did really great raves in
that
sewer.
That was the one thing that really got me with that movie. They're living in the sewer, yet they can party like no tomorrow.
Yes.
There was no tomorrow.
You have to celebrate when you can.
Or it was like, well, there was a spoof from like the movie
the MTV
awards.
Music awards.
Yeah, where they.
What is Morpheus bringing to this orgy? Yeah. Machines.
And I'm like, I don't know, there's, you know, robots trying to kill me, and I would be thinking about trying to, like, save my, not dancing and, like, you know.
You gotta take a break
sometimes. But see, that's sort of like that anime influence, because that's very anime-like, like, all this destruction going on around you. But we gonna rave tonight.
It's very
Viking in a way.
Speaking of anime,
we're dying tomorrow.
Did you watch the Animatrix?
Yes, I did. Yes, we have that.
Because I enjoy that more than I enjoy Reloaded or Revolution.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. And I think like I watched the Animatrix and it was just it was interesting getting different perspectives. Of those of stories or what was going on in different parts of the world, I even like you even get like a different take on things if you when you play Enter the Matrix, which was the game.
Do you know that that was the most expensive video game to make
at the time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, see, you know, The Matrix is one of the only series where they had the main canon actually expanded through the games because the Matrix MMO was a direct part of the canon.
Yes, and I never played, but they said that like Trinity would show up, and I guess apparently a resurrected Neo would show up from time to time too. And so, yeah, no, all that was part of the story.
And this was another one of the series where they created the effects that they needed.
Yes.
They upgraded the technology to be able to do bullet time.
Yes.
And all the kind. That was the first time you saw something like that.
Mm.
And then, after that, every movie had it.
Yeah, exactly. Every movie
Every time you have a major change in the way things are done, for the next year or two, everybody does.
Everybody does.
Marvel Universe!
Like the Matrix movies, but one thing that's always bothered me about it, that's my job apparently, is to say what bothers me about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that orgy scene is absurd in my mind, the rave thing.
Yeah.
Not because, I get that people are like, okay, the world might end, let's have a party and have fun now.
Right.
It just looked so weird.
Yeah.
What bothered me was, it was a cool sci-fi movie. It had some great philosophy and stuff, but the actual science was absurd. The whole keep humans alive to use them as batteries.
Well, yeah, because that was purely done as part of the platform for building everything else.
But, yeah, that was the
if you,
created,
right,
know,
but if you exactly. watch, they said we want humans because it gives us purpose, or something like that, the robots. Yeah. But their goal was we need to keep humans alive because we use them as batteries.
Well,
that was just absurd.
If you watch in the Animatrix, there's a two-part movie. It's called The Rise. It's called The Rise of the Machine World.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what it tells is that as society, kind of like now, because actually my house, we just got Alexa. It's really, really cool. But it shows how, you know, as a society, we built these robots. And these robots were designed to build our society up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, robots gain the ability of sentient thinking.
Right.
And, you know, they just, because they were always under our thumb, and robots didn't want that. So eventually they rose up, they moved away, they created their own society.
Right.
And what happened was, as humans, because the machine world were able to create society and goods that were much more expensive and luxurious, as humans, we didn't like that. So we wanted to fight against the robots. And hence, the robots then, because there was this big war. And that's when all the humans went into near the center of the Earth.
Right.
The remaining humans, the prisoners, were given the task of, well, we got all these humans, let's just hook them up and they can they'll be our slaves.
Right. That's fine. It's just the science of saying humans make good batteries. You have an entire Earth full of minerals and chemicals that you
not
can use to make
much
batteries.
Of that was left. The thing is,
but you can't get more energy out of something.
Well, in the Animatrix, one of the ways that we tried to snuff out the robots was we were going to engulf the planet with black smoke because a lot of the robots were solar powered.
Right,
and hence when doing that, even though we thought it was a good idea. Killed off all of the natural wildlife and pretty much devastated the planet.
Well, you can wrap this up in the whole thing.
One more quickie.
What?
We're actually, if you look on it, we're actually heading towards that. Because did you see the one where they're looking at no longer babies being born, they're actually going to be grown?
Yeah, people are actually looking into actually...
Well, that's called test tube babies. They already do that. Yeah.
No, well, they're looking to extend that.
No, but actually full-term babies. You know, just
and
like
the
same
thing. Actually, not the same line. The Terminator movies make a good prequel for the Matrix.
Yeah. I think Max said it best in the latest episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the LMDs, that have you not seen any robot movie between now and 1980?
I'm just saying, don't say anything when the robots rise up and try to get and they want to enslave our human masters. Just you wait.
I'm
just saying.
I got one more before we got to wrap this up because we're going a little late. But this is our anniversary episode, so we go a little bit longer. Not much, but the one we've not talked about that's truly an epic. We're going from the extreme future to the fantasy past with Lord of the Rings. or the Tolkien series of films in general. Now, these were super long, epic, ginormous films, which were beautifully done.
To fall asleep to.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem, is they aren't written.
But then what kind of dreams do you have?
Well, these movies were made the way the books read. It takes a long time to get to anything done in the books, but he filled it so beautifully with what's in there. Now,
I know a lot of people love Tolkien, but quite honestly, I can't stand that crap.
See,
I got so bored with the books. Yeah. I got bored with the movies.
Lord of the Rings.
I'm not an RPG person either. So,
yeah. Here's the thing. Like, I thought like I was okay with them for the most part. And the thing was, like, I thought that I felt like I might be missing something, because as much as I love D&D, I felt like I should have been loving this until I read Guy Gax's biography and found out that he was inspired by Conan, and I'm like, that's why!
Yes, this is a more Conan, type of fantasy.
Less Tolkien!
Except it's really, like, Conan was one of his biggest inspirations, especially in how the action played out.
Yes.
But it was, world building as far was from
making
Tolkien.
The world building, it was deeply from Tolkien.
Absolutely. Right.
But
this was not a Conan style world with its silent hateful.
Well,
gods.
The cool thing with this movie
was sex.
Which is really legal.
But
Andy, what'd you say?
No, he did. He'll tell you later. There's some interesting scenes in Conan if you watch it through.
Yeah.
Not the TV version. Watch the actual original cut.
I still didn't hear what he said.
Don't worry about it. We'll tell you later.
There's a guy.
But.
With a llama.
Let's see what
he's just trying to sneak.
The nice thing that this movie did.
He couldn't say he
was
a bad boy.
It tripped.
Hey, he's legal high.
But. Wait. Let's bring it back down for a second.
Let's go back. Come on.
The one thing that this movie did was it truly was one of the few that. It's a very. The original, at least the Lord of the Rings movies, were a very close adaptation of what the books were. There were some things left out, but it really was the parts of the book that really didn't go to anything else.
Right.
There were flavor stuff that was put on the sides. Other than that, the books are almost identical to the movie. They rearranged the events a little bit, but most of the events of the books were there.
Well, okay. If we're in the last movie.
Now, the Hobbit movies are a different story.
No, I'm talking about the Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Return of the King.
Yeah.
When you thought it was over, and then it would go up again, and then it would go down. You go, okay, we can get back up. No, there's no ending. Okay, you gotta sit down.
It
was the ending that never ended.
That's the book.
The book had like five epilogues.
Yes. The books were like that.
That's the problem with the book.
See, that's the thing.
Shut up! They all lived happily ever after.
See, I half agree with Dawn.
I do too.
Because the Lord of the Rings books and the Silmarillion. Silmarillion, it took me 6 months to get through a 200-page book.
I took the Silmarillion like
it's a history book.
It's a
history book. I don't do well with history. But Lord of the Rings took me almost a year to get through, and I still didn't get all the way through them. The Hobbit, I got done in a week and a half.
The Hobbit is like 300 pages.
Exactly, but it's also a totally... He wrote that specifically for kids. So it's written in a different way. It's actually... It gets through the events real quick, nice and easy, and it flows.
Right.
Well, Lord of the Rings, he put so much into those, and it took him forever to write them.
14 years and 9 days.
So it takes that long to read them, and almost that long to watch the movies.
Hey,
okay,
the movies have a
Hobbit
soft spot.
Yes.
The Hobbit movies better than the book, or the book better than the movies?
I didn't even mess with the Hobbit movie. I didn't fool with that.
The Hobbit movies added parts of the Silmarillion. So they could make it into three.
That's why they had to search the three movies.
What do you got,
Cam?
Are we ever going to talk about Game of Thrones? No one's talking about Game of Thrones.
No, that's a
movie.
They all die.
And everyone dies every episode. Eventually, they will.
Honestly, on last week's episode, we talked about Vikings. That's better than Game of Thrones, so we don't need to talk about Game of Thrones.
They
all one movie.
This was basically just a whole
building.
Okay, guys.
Brothers and sisters.
Let's bring it down. This has pretty much been an overview of all these different franchises.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that we can go on forever on all these, and then we can keep going movie franchises. There's stuff that I remembered while we were doing this, and Vicky brought up, like, we could talk at some other point later, we could talk, like, the National Treasure series. Yeah. We could talk...
Because what it is it was all the same thing.
It's only two movies.
But it's the same idea as Indiana Jones.
But which other ones did you come up with that we could talk? The National Treasure.
Rambo and Rocky. Yeah,
we can get into Rambo and the Rocky and some of those.
Rambo's not a geek movie. Rocky's not a geek movie.
Oh, they're geeks all around the world love those.
Franchises.
Yes, but geeks around the world love those movies.
Just because you love them doesn't make them
not just me.
Great.
Not just me.
Movies for a subset of geeks.
Right. But like I said, there are major movie franchises. There's major movie franchises we've not got a chance to get to.
Harry Potter.
So, well, we did Harry Potter.
We did a whole episode on Harry Potter.
Okay.
Yes. Pirates of the Caribbean.
You were here.
You're a wizard, Harry.
So, but
pay attention.
As we're getting ready to wrap this up, because this is going a little longer than normal, but is there anything else, Kylan and Dawn, that you guys had for that you wanted to cover or anything?
Not this week.
Vicky, did you have anything else you want to bring up?
No, I just want to see if Ivor dies.
Yes, we have one more episode left to see what happens on Vikings. So we may talk Vikings again at some point.
Although, quickie, he is a mad genius.
Yeah.
Did you see the... Yeah. I did not expect that at all.
So, well, at this point, I want to thank everybody for coming out and celebrating the our two-year anniversary of GeekWatch 1. So, and remember, we do this the last Monday of every month. So come on back out. And Geeksters... Geeksters, remember, you can always find us at www.geekwatch1.com. Everything you need to know from us is there. All social media, GeekWatch1. You can find us on the Tangentbound Network and the Weeby Geeks Network. And from there, just remember...
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
2 years!